I've been speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, and I'll continue doing that. Can you hear us? You better come closer. Oh yeah, you don't. You move up. So, name 171 is Atindriya, which means beyond the range of the sense organs. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote, Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hiji Vado Swayam Eva Spratyada. Does anyone know the meaning of this verse? It's a much quoted verse. Anyone? Yes, but the beginning of the verse. That's connected with this part. Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai. Yes. Krishna's name, Namadi, means name, form, qualities, pastimes, cannot be accessed via the mundane senses. Then the second part of the verse, Sivon Mukhe Hiji Vado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Yeah. Sivon Mukh, that's a very important word here. That if one is inclined to serve Krishna, and that service begins with the tongue. Because Krishna Namadi, the Nam, Krishna Nam, we vibrate by the tongue. So if one is inclined to serve Krishna, beginning with the tongue, by chanting Hare Krishna, and taking prasadam, then Krishna reveals himself. So having said that, I may request those who are using their tongue to chant Hare Krishna to not do so now, because you have to listen now. You understand English? Hindi. Aap angrezi nahi aate. Aapko. All right, so. Krishna cannot be perceived by the blunt material sense. This is a very important point. Many people say, well, show me God. Well, if God is there, you show me. But what is our qualification? Are we qualified to see God? Are we pure? Does God have to come running down the stairs and say, yes, I'm here? Rather, we have to qualify ourselves to go to Him. And the qualification is that we become free from all impure desires. When we only desire to serve Him, then He'll be very pleased to show Himself to Him, to us. Now, that He is beyond the range of the senses, some people say, well, that means that you can't see God, or that God is just some light and no form. But actually, Krishna, He is also called Govinda. What does Govinda mean? Govinda means very well-known name. You all know the name Govinda, except maybe. Do you know the name Govinda? You must have heard that name, Mark. You know that name? What about Mrs. Rupa? You don't know that name? Govinda, it's a very nice name. What does it mean? Very common name of Krishna.
Krishna gives pleasure to
cows. Krishna gives pleasure to the cows, yeah. That's one meaning. Not controlling the senses. Tick. So, should I speak in Hindi? But you don't know Hindi. You don't know Hindi. There are a few people here. But actually, let me finish this, and then Maybe I'll speak 15 minutes in English and then 15 minutes in Hindi, and then my voice will be finished anyway, unless the sound system comes in time. So, baad mein, 10 minute ke baad, Hindi. So, Govinda means who gives pleasure to the cows. Go means cow. Go also means, another meaning of go is earth, another meaning is the senses. So Krishna, Govinda means who gives pleasure to the cows, to the earth, and to the senses. But here the name Atindriya means who is beyond the senses. So how can he give pleasure to the senses if he's beyond the senses? But that means that with these material senses we cannot see Krishna. But with spiritualized senses we can, not only, people say, can you see God? Yes, you can see him. You can also touch him, feel him, taste Krishna in the form of prasadam, smell. Everything about Krishna is very nice. So people put on perfumes to smell nice, but Krishna is the source of everything nice. So his transcendental body also smells very nice. We can hear Krishna because his name is none different from him. So what have we got? Touching, tasting, smelling, feeling. Touching, tasting, feeling, and hearing. And there's the mind is also considered a sense, so we can think of Krishna. So Krishna is available to the senses, but not to the blunt material senses. Now, when Krishna was personally present, many people saw Krishna who were not pure. There are many. Kamsa, Shishupal, Jarasandha, Putana. So how could they see Krishna if they were not pure? They actually consider themselves enemies of Krishna. Just like there are atheists in the world today, and they say, we don't believe in God. But it's not that they just don't believe in God, but they actually hate God. If they didn't believe in God, then they'd just be neutral. But they're actually very much against. There's no God. Why do you mean? They become angry if they hear the word God. So, why would they become angry if there's nothing there? It's like if there's a vacuum, you don't become angry at a vacuum. Or if there's just some empty space, why should you? There's nothing to say, nothing to do. So if they don't believe in God, then there's nothing. Just like Walter Bottom Scott. You've all heard of Walter Bottom Scott? No, doesn't. I just made up the name, so. But when you heard the name, you didn't become angry, did you? Maybe there is someone called Walter Bottom Scott, but it's a funny name. Probably not. So you didn't become angry. If there's no such entity as Walter Bottom Scott, then why should you become angry? There's no need. Just, I can imagine, and I say, well, forget Obama, forget Romney, Walter Bottom Scott for president. I say, what's this crazy guy? But you don't become angry. So actually, in a perverse way, they believe in God, but they actually hate him. So how is it that great demons, like I gave some names, how could they see Krishna? Well, in one sense they saw Krishna, but really to see Krishna means to see him with the eyes of love. And in one sense, everyone sees God all the time, because in one sense, everything is non-different from him. Not that you and I are God, But everything is created from him. There's nothing that can exist without him. And so in one sense, we are perceiving God all the time. And he says in Bhagavad Gita that Rasoham apsukauntaya prabhashmi shashi surya yoho pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke purushang nirshu. He says that I am the taste in water. So any taste, whatever you drink, there's some flavor. Water itself has some flavor. Mostly we think water doesn't have flavor, but some days it has a plastic flavor. Doesn't taste very nice. Did anyone drink distilled water? It's different to tap water or spring water or bottled water. So water has taste. And then any other thing we drink, that's also what taste is there is made possible by water. If your palate is completely dry and you put some dry food on, like dry bread, you can't taste anything. Water is the medium by which we can taste. So Krishna says that taste, that is him. He is the light of the sun and the moon. We don't see the moonlight in neon-lit cities. You have to go out in the country. In Afghanistan, you must have seen the moon at night, yeah? And you see the difference. In the full moon night, you can read practically. But in the new moon night, especially if there are clouds in the sky, you can't see your hand in front of your face. It's completely pitch black, as they say. So that light is Krishna. The light of the sun is Krishna. Pranava sarva vedeshu. The sound, om, in Vedic, these examples are being given. In Vedic culture, the sound om, you'd hear that a lot because people are chanting verses. Om tat sat iti nirdesho brahmanas trivitam hutam. So it's often heard. That sound is Krishna. And any sound is Krishna. And Krishna is the manliness in men. And there are many examples. Krishna, buddhir buddhimatam asmi. If you see anyone intelligent, and everyone's intelligent in some way or other. Are you intelligent? Do you think you're intelligent? Not sure. Anyway, whatever intelligence you have, that comes from Krishna. You may think, I am very intelligent, but actually that intelligence comes from Krishna. Tejas Tejasvinamaham. Krishna is the vigor, the virility, the power of those who are powerful. Krishna also says, it's all from Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Dyutam Chalayatamasmi. He is the gambling of cheats. So you can try and listen here. It's not that interesting that they're setting up the sound system. It's whenever there's any little distraction, people somehow becomes very interesting to see a microphone. That's also Krishna in one way, but better to hear about Krishna. So these are different ways we can see Krishna in an indirect way. This is the beginning. When we're not fully purified, that we can see Krishna's beautiful form before us, then we can start to see Krishna in everything, everyday objects. Srila Prabhupada even said that for someone who is addicted to drinking wine, if they every time they drink wine, they think this taste is Krishna, one day they'll be a great devotee. That's not a recommended process, but better to chant Hare Krishna, not drink wine. But even if you are addicted to drinking wine, even then you can make a start in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna's transcendental form, very beautiful form, Shyama Sunda, means blackish and very beautiful, Muralidha, holding a flute, Dvibhuja, two hands. And you may say, why say two hands? Everyone has two hands. But as Vishnu, he has four hands, Chaturbhuja. So he's sometimes called Dvibhuja. So this beautiful form may be appreciated by devotees of Krishna. Yeah, what are we going to do here? All right, it looks like it's okay there. Now, this name could be understood in other ways also. This series of names is interpreted by Baladev Vidyabhushan in this particular verse. These names are interpreted by him to mean in relation to the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. So, even though in that pastime Vishnu appeared in four different forms, but the demons who were present there, they just thought of Vishnu as their enemy. They couldn't appreciate him. They saw him, but they couldn't appreciate him as the personality of Godhead. You know this? Samudra Manthan Lila? Vishnu appeared in four forms there. Can you think what the four forms are? Tortoise, Mahini. Anyone else?
He holds the mountain.
Yeah, that's the tortoise. It's on his... The Mandara mountain is on his back. No. As Vishnu himself, he appeared with the demigods, holding Vasuki. And also on top of Meru, he exhibited a multi-armed form. Oh, that's... Yeah, Dhanvantari also came out. That's true, yeah. So there you go, there's five. Although he didn't really... Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he was there. So, Dhanvantri Bhagavan. So you got me there. Five forms. I thought of four. But the demons, they only saw our enemy. They couldn't appreciate that his beauty, his kindness, his mercy. So, in one sense, they saw him just like everyone always sees Krishna because we cannot but see Krishna because nothing is separate from Krishna. But not everyone appreciates Krishna. Other ways we can understand this name? Atindriya is... And that will go very well with the next name also, Mahamaya. Is that devotees, they become so much overwhelmed by Krishna that they simply faint. So that their senses cannot accommodate Krishna. The devotees, they're so much, they see Krishna so beautiful and it's such a beautiful, they just faint. Or they hear the sound of Krishna's flute and it's more than their senses can accommodate. So that's another way of thinking. Another way we can understand this name is that Krishna's own senses are far greater than those of anyone else. He has got super senses. Just like we see, but we can only see to a certain distance, we can't see through the wall. I mean, some people have extrasensory perception, but even if we have a unobstructed vista, just like in the ocean, but still we can only see to a certain distance, and we can't see clearly. And If you put very close, you also can't see very clearly. And the thing which is closest to us, to the eyelid, you can't see that either. You can't see what's behind you. So our vision is very limited. And we tend to misunderstand what we see also. We may see a mountain in the distance, and if it's not a very clear day, we may think it's a cloud. So we may misinterpret. But Krishna's senses, they are, well, for one thing, they're everywhere. Sarvata parnipadam tat sarvato kshi shiromukam. Sarvata shruti maloke sarvam avritya tishtati. Krishna, his hands, his legs, his faces, his eyes, they're everywhere. He covers everything. Sarvatasha, he's heard everywhere. So Krishna's senses are superior to those of others. So in this way, he's also atindriya. He cannot be realized simply through the senses. But when Krishna himself gives us the ability, he enters our senses and gives us the ability to perceive him, then we can perceive him. And how much can we perceive Krishna? He's unlimited, we're limited. So we can perceive him to the extent that he empowers us to do so. We're completely dependent upon him. And completely dependent. And even for our senses, to just like we may take it for granted that we can see. I can see you, you can see me. But the power to see that is given by Krishna, that may be taken away at any time. The power to do anything. There's a very easy thing to pick up this watch, right? Or just put your hand in the air. But if Krishna takes away the ability, you can't even lift your hand. As I've several times said, I had that experience one, that I woke up one cold morning in India, and as mostly in India, maybe cold, but there's no heating. You just tolerate it, that's all. Not like here, where everything's air-conditioned, heated. When it's hot outside, they make it far too cold inside. And when it's cold outside, they make it far too hot inside also. But nowadays in India, they're electric fans and air conditioners, so they don't tolerate, they can't tolerate without this. But for the cold, still, they're more or less tolerating. So anyway, I woke up one morning and I couldn't move my arms, just completely stiff. You just expect that you get up and you start moving around, but I couldn't, it's completely stiff from the cold. So then that was a lesson for me, that you just presume that you can move your neck and your eyes and you can, but if Krishna takes away the ability, you can't do anything at all. You can't walk, you can't talk, you can't think. Everything is dependent on Krishna. So he gives power to the senses. So he's definitely above our senses. What else to say? Yeah, so he can be seen. He reveals himself to those who have devotion to him. So that's the important point. Okay, so that's the name. Atindriya. So we finished that? No, that's not finished. No name is finished, but a few points about that. Any questions about that? Yeah.
When we when demons are such a bad people, and when we have to churn the sea, and when Vishnu was there and all gods were there, why do they need the help of demons for that activity?
Why do they need the help of demons to churn the milk ocean? Well, why anything? Why does Krishna do all this? Krishna could have just killed the demons and done whatever he liked. But then there's no fun, there's no leela, there's no pastime. Why does Krishna do anything? We could just have impersonal Brahman and do nothing. But then there's no fun. Love of Krishna means we have some things to do with him. He's not just sitting and looking at him. We have to do things, and then we means there are activities. And if there's some struggle, there's you can see who's on whose side, and it becomes interesting. So why anything? Because Krishna, he likes to enjoy activities. And everyone likes, just like if we're asked just to sit still and do nothing all day, every day, you like to do that? Don't talk to anyone, don't hear anything. There's some idea of doing meditation like that. But we have a much better process. We chant, we sing, we dance, we take nice prasadam, we talk about Krishna. That's much more relishable than just meditating on the end of your, looking at the end of your nose. It's not very interesting, is it? There's not much rasa. Maybe there's some rasa with the snot coming out of your nose, but that's not very relishable, is it? Merge into the mucus. But Krishna consciousness is blissful. That means there are activities. So if Krishna is always keeping himself on such a very, very high platform, that it seems, then there's nothing to do. Actually, there is nothing to do for him. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natasya maschabhyati kascha drishyate. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shuyate swabhava kijnana balakriyacha. He has nothing to do. He can do everything. Everything is done by his potencies. He has only to wish, and even without wishing, everything goes on. It's not that he's managing the universe and he's so much hassle. Oh, I don't have time, don't disturb me. God has 50 arms and 50 heads, and he's taking so many phone calls. And he's playing his flute very happily. You know, everything is going on. The management of the universe is going on. But sometimes there are major disturbances, and he takes the role of becoming involved in setting things right. Just why? For his own fun, that's all. And for the fun of his devotees also. That's all. He's happy. He likes to enjoy different pastimes. Otherwise, what is there to do? And then there's nothing for us to talk about either. Then you can just all sit here and go, oh, anyway, no need to demonstrate again. But it's more relishable to talk about Krishna's pastimes. If he doesn't have any pastimes, then there's nothing to talk about, is there? What do you think? Any other question about that? So, Hare Krishna.